Hello everyone, Purse here, and today we're going to talk about eating habits. More importantly, my eating habits, because I am a disordered eater. I have disordered eating habits. Now, as the title says, disordered eating and mental health, or mental health and disordered eating, I haven't committed to a title yet. We will be talking about myself and my diet and my eating habits and how that affects me and my weight and body composition. So if you have eating disorder behavior, your own disordered eating, of diagnosed eating disorder, or, you know, you just have issues listening to people talk about their diet, their food intake, and their body composition, don't listen to this. This might not be the episode for you. Mind your triggers, and don't harm yourself by listening to this. But notice how I said I am a disordered eater. I have disordered eating habits, and not I have disordered eating. Now here's the thing. I'm not a professional. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even in school for, you know, mental health services or to become a doctor. I just know my own experience, and I talk about my experience with my support team, which is fairly extensive. I have 2 psychotherapists, 1 psychiatrist, general practitioner, all, you know, exchanging knowledge about me and how I'm doing and whatnot. And I talk to them sometimes, and I ask them questions. I don't ask them questions for the express purpose of putting them answers on the podcast. I just ask them questions as they apply to me. And because this podcast is also about me, I can use those answers here. And from my understanding, if you have a PhD or a bachelor's or whatnot, a master's degree in this, you can DM me and correct me. But disordered eating is not a diagnosis. It's a descriptor. It's an adjective, you know? It's just like if I were to say, you know, I have good eating habits, or normal eating habits, or poor eating habits. I have, personally, disordered eating habits, and not necessarily an eating disorder. However, disordered eating habits, depending on how they manifest themselves and what's causing those habits, can turn into an eating disorder. A lot of people have disordered eating habits because of the way that our food's overprocessed, and it's easy to not have one food group. It's easy to eliminate food groups out of your diet, or to go on to special diets that are not actually nutritious. You know, all these different things, stress, workload, all these things affect your eating habits, and disordered eating is more common than you'd think, even though it's not necessarily an eating disorder and it doesn't stem from a poor relationship with either body image, food, or exercise. Disordered eating is in a large umbrella a criteria for all of the eating disorders out there. And I'm going to talk about some of them before we go into my experience. So I've done a little bit of research about this. However, again, I don't have an eating disorder. I'm not in school to become a mental health professional. I'm not a mental health professional. So eating disorders aren't my forte. Nothing's my forte, but definitely not eating disorders. Kind of like how depression, or major depression, generalized anxiety, and BPD, I know quite a bit about because of just research that I do for myself. I don't research eating disorders for myself because I don't have one. But I did do a little bit of research before coming into this, and I found 4 main eating disorders. I'm sure there's more, but these are the main ones that we kind of just hear about culturally. Anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder, and EDNOS. And I'm going to tell you guys my understanding of the disorders, but again, my understanding and what actually is might not be correct. And I'm going to be honest. There's one thing, and that's bulimia nervosa, which I don't necessarily understand. I have my talking points, I have my notes, but I don't personally, my brain just doesn't compute. So I'm going to say my notes, but I don't have a lot of comments on that one because I honestly don't really understand it, and I don't live through it. So anorexia nervosa, from my understanding, there's 4 DSM, and the DSM is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. I believe that's what that breaks down to, and it's what mental health professionals use to diagnose people. And there's 4 criteria that needs to be met, and there's refusal to maintain an ideal body weight. So there's an ideal body weight for your age and size, and a lot of people who are diagnosed with anorexia nervosa, or also known as anorexia, refuses to maintain this body weight. And that's usually because they have, which is the second, or not the second specifically, but another criteria, distorted self-perception. And as it was explained, you know, everyone sees flaws with themselves and sees things that they think are amplified. For example, when you get a pimple and you think everyone can see it, but no one can see it until you ask your friend, you're like, oh, is my pimple noticeable? And they say no, but now that you pointed it out, it is. People with this kind of distorted self-perception, you know, they could be literally 80 pounds, one lost pound away from death, and they look in the mirror and see someone who's morbidly obese and they think it's a problem and they just need to get smaller and smaller and smaller, and that's their eating disorder, distorting their view of themselves and forcing them to get smaller and smaller and smaller until eventually they just kill themselves from lack of food and nutrition. Next, so we're approaching 3 out of 4, there's the extreme fear of gaining weight. And you know, everyone, you know, summer comes up and people say, oh, I need to get my beach body ready, or Christmas is coming and people say, you know, I have all these Christmas parties, I should lose weight now so I look good, or it's after Christmas and I ate too much, and those are natural things. An extreme fear of gaining weight is literally a debilitating fear of gaining weight. So a couple of ounces, a pound, you know, those are like life-shattering events for someone who's experiencing anorexia nervosa. They can't gain any weight whatsoever, even negligible amounts that people would look at and say, you just gained a pound. You're like 110 and 5'6". Like, calm down. They're like, no. Can only get smaller. So it's an extreme and irrational, let's say irrational, fear of gaining weight. And I like to use irrational a lot for myself. This isn't a medical thing that I heard from anyone. I just like to use the words irrational instead of words like extreme or more than normal or under normal or whatnot. Because I find kind of like with the trend of people who like to, you know, adopt characteristics of, say, BPD, or adopt characteristics of depression when it's convenient for them, or adopt characteristics for a lot of things that they don't actually are involved in. When you say things like extreme or things like above normal or under normal, those things help normalize the illnesses and disorders, which is great because that means that the wider population can relate more easily, and then things become less stigmatized. The problem is also the wider population can relate more easily and then start to attribute these factors to themselves. I'm not sure if I'm making sense, but because the words are easier to digest, people say, oh yeah, extreme fear, I have a fear of gaining weight as well. Whereas, you know, if you say irrational, not a lot of people like to call themselves irrational. You know, it's why a lot of people, there are people who feign anorexia, or people who, you know, take symptoms from other diagnoses and fit them into their own personality to feel different or whatnot. But you don't see a lot of people walking around, claiming schizophrenia, you know, because that's true delusion, true irrationality, all these things that are not, necessarily glamorous in our society, I would say. I think it comes from the glamorization of mental illness, which comes from the normalization of mental illness and the destigmatization, which is great. Destigmatizing and normalizing are amazing, but some people take the new language and they see it as glamorous when it's not. Now, this isn't me accusing anyone who self-diagnoses or whatever of anything. You know, live your life, but there are people, and everyone's met these people, it's not necessarily mental health issues, just anything, they adopt traits that don't fit them, and everyone's looking at them like, what are you doing? So I want to say irrational fear of gaining weight instead of extreme fear of gaining weight, because extreme could lead someone to say, yeah, I'm extreme, whatever, I don't want to gain 5 pounds, but if you switch it up and you say irrational, they catch themselves, and they're like, well, I'm a rational person. Anyway, that's my little spiel, which might rub some people the wrong way, and we're not even, you know, 10 minutes in, so, if you're new to my station, hi. If you're still here and that didn't put you off, hi. And the last one is loss of period. And it's explained that if you have never had a period before because you're too young, then this doesn't apply to you because you didn't even have one. It's more so if you've started having periods or you've started menstruating and you've stopped because of your restricting and like weight issues, that's an issue. If you've never had a period but you're far past the age where you're supposed to have one and you go in to get medical checks and it's not any other reason and the only reason you could assume is because of your diet. And obviously, just like it doesn't include small children who've never had their periods, if you're just one of those adults who aren't supposed to have a period, there's a lot of females who don't have their periods for other medical reasons, this wouldn't apply to you either because you're just you just biologically do not produce. You biologically don't menstruate. And one thing I forgot, there's a couple of factors in refusing to maintain your body weight, and that's one of which is binging and purging. So there's anorexia, binge purge type, which I've heard people say, and again, that I have nothing to know, nothing that I've researched for that, but I do know that binging and purging is the act of, you know, eating a whole lot of food at once and then purging it, which most people describe as vomiting. However, it can be a lot of things. It can be excessive exercise. It could be using diuretics or like laxatives, things like that. Anything to get the food out of your body or convincing yourself that you're working off that food. And then just restricting, plain old restricting, which means you're just restricting what you eat. You're not even eating at all. Another diagnosis is bulimia nervosa. Now, again, I don't really understand bulimia. I personally listen to the definition of it, and I don't get it. I honestly don't understand it. But from what I've read and what I've watched and what I've been told, bulimia is binging and purging, but binging to where you feel like you're out of control. You binge a lot. Well, the definition of binging from the DSM is that you eat more than a normal amount, an excessive amount of food in under like 2 hours. That's the time frame they give. And then another part of it is that it's like you're not in control of yourself when you're eating or when you're binging. And then you find some way to purge that food again, either through vomiting or working out excessively or whatnot. A last thing that goes into that is also distorted body image, and there's like slight nuances that that distinguish bulimia from anorexia. I don't know what those are, but those exist. The third out of four that I looked up was binge eating disorder, which is pretty much you binge, but you don't purge. You just binge the food. That's what it is in a nutshell. And then lastly, it's there's EDNOS. And EDNOS is EDNOS, and that's eating disorder not otherwise specified. And basically, eating disorders are very funny things, and they transform and they shapeshift and they go from one form to another form to whatnot. And sometimes it's hard to pin someone down into one of the many diagnoses and criteria that there are for extreme disordered eating behaviors. So EDNOS is kind of like a catch-all. Do you experience parts of anorexia, but not all of them? Or were you experiencing anorexia for one point in time, but then you kind of moved over to bulimia and then went back to anorexia and then went and tried binge eating disorder? And I know I said tried as if it's a conscious choice. You went and you're now exhibiting binge eating disorder behaviors, all of these things, and you're always fluctuating, and you know, you're always jumping from one disorder to another. You might just be diagnosed with EDNOS, and that's just, again, eating disorder not otherwise specified. And you're still exhibiting extreme and irrational eating disorder behavior. It just can't be pinned down by one of the, because they all have very strict criteria. So now that we've gotten those out of the way and might have turned off a whole lot of listeners from my whole extreme versus irrational rant, again, I don't have anything, well, I do have my opinions on self-diagnosis and things like that, and no, I'm not discrediting people who say, you know, I'm depressed or whatnot, but there are people who see certain mental illnesses as if they're glamorous or a fad or, you know,
art is pain and artists suffer, and for me to be an artist, I need to suffer from XYZ. There are people like that out there, and I find that radical language, of course, others, mental illness from, I guess, the quote-unquote norm, which isn't great because then, you know, it doesn't normalize mental illness, and that's further stigmatizes mental illness. But what it also does is radical language and words like irrational, extreme words like that, reminds people that it's not just a quirky character trait for you to, you know, want to lose 5 pounds before Christmas. That's not a quirky anorexia, like, fun time thing. Like, no, it's, anorexia is very serious, and it's very much like, oh my gosh, I gained a fraction of a pound, it's the end of the world. And sometimes radical language really hits that home. Now, getting off my soapbox, I am purse, and I have disordered eating habits. I am a disordered eater. And these habits stem from, I have 3 diagnoses, and also PTSD has been thrown around at times, but generalized anxiety disorder, major depressive disorder, major depression disorder, and BPD, borderline personality disorder. But the two that we are going to be focusing on right now is generalized anxiety and major depression, and that's because that's where my disordered eating mostly stems from. So there's multiple reasons why. I've read about it, and I've talked to my psychotherapists about it, and we're still working on it, and there's 2 distinct reasons unique to both disorders that both come together and just make a very poor environment in my body, or not a very poor environment, but a very uninviting environment for food within my body. And I think I'm going to start with major depression, MDD, because that is a little simpler than the generalized anxiety. So basically what I've been told and what I've learned is that depression suppresses appetite, especially when I'm in my lowest moods. I just don't feel hungry. And before I realized that I had any sort of mental health issue, and I've had disordered eating habits for years, like previous to my breakdown, probably like 5-6 years, literally, throughout high school and even going into elementary school, I've just had poor eating habits. And it's something much to my mother's chagrin, because she needs to consistently, like, remind me to eat and make me food so that I will eat if she wasn't around. If she wasn't around and I didn't have a meal plan that allowed me to just literally walk downstairs, put food on my plate in the moment, and, like, have it prepaid, I probably wouldn't eat regularly, if at all. And part of the reason is because I forget for like years. And I'm talking like, again, 8 or 9 years, soon going on to a decade. People would ask me, you know, have you eaten anything today? Are you hungry? And I think like, oh no, I actually haven't eaten anything for the past day and a half, for the past 2 days. And it's literally because I don't feel hungry. And I forget that it's a function that I need to do. It's kind of like, this is hard to explain because we literally need to breathe more immediately than we necessarily need to eat. We breathe 24/7. We don't eat 24/7. But it'd be like, you know how sometimes you're aware that you're breathing and you force yourself to breathe, but then of course you move on with your life and your body breathes for you. Like if you're doing your work or whatever, you don't stop breathing. Your body just automatically breathes for you. Imagine if your body just stopped breathing for you and you didn't realize it. So you didn't start manually breathing either. And you're writing on your paper and you're starting to turn blue and someone looks at you and they're like, you look like you're about to pass out. Have you taken a breath lately? And you realize 5-10 minutes have passed and you're like, oh no, I haven't. Maybe I should start breathing again. And then you breathe consciously and then you stop. And then you realize you nearly faint and you're like, oh wow, I forgot to breathe, and you start breathing again and you stop. It's kind of like that with me in eating, except it's eating and it's every couple of days. I'll look up and I'll think, oh, I've forgotten to eat. I haven't eaten in anywhere from 16 to 36 hours. Gotta go eat something. So I literally, I just don't feel hungry. I don't have an appetite. And it gets pushed to the back of my mind. Because I'm a functional, well, not only a functional depressive, but just functional in my mental health, mental illness. Sometimes overloading my schedule with tasks is like a poor coping mechanism for me, where I will just take on project after project and commit to doing so many things to the point where not only do I forget to eat, but it's not like I'm sitting in my room for hours on end and I'm like, well, I don't have anything else to do, I should just eat. Literally, I won't be near anywhere, like any sort of eating establishments, for hours at a time because I'm running from one commitment to another. And then if I finally do realize I'm hungry, I just tell myself, oh, I'm too busy to eat. Like, I don't have time to wait, or to wait and go grab a sandwich and then come back and I keep doing what I'm doing. Next thing you know, it's 11 o'clock at night and I'm about to go to bed and I realize I haven't eaten all day, but it's bedtime and everything's closed and I don't want to go for a walk, and I go to sleep and I wake up and I have other things to do and I don't eat, and that's how I don't eat for a couple hours. So it's twofold. One is I tell myself I'm too busy to eat, so I don't do it. Or two, I forget to eat. I don't eat. I just forget about it. And neither of them are good, and both can be, I guess, attributed in part to my depression. On another end, my anxiety disorder also affects my ability to eat. I've talked about this before, but I feel nauseous, on and off, more on than off. I tend to feel nauseous, and this just discourages me from eating. I feel nauseous, but I don't throw up. I never throw up. I've never thrown up as a result of being anxious or being nauseous due to anxiety, or due to anxious nausea. I don't throw up very often. I haven't thrown up in probably 10 years, and I think I've only done it, like, outside of a baby. I've only done it 2 or 3 times, and that's because I've eaten things that have literally upset my stomach. And that's like a purely physiological, like, reaction. But I don't throw up due to anxious nausea. But it is very uncomfortable. And when I do feel nauseous, which again is more often than not, I don't want to put anything in my body, even if I do know, like, logically that I don't need to throw up. It's just anxiety. I don't want to eat anything because it's like, I already feel like I'm going to throw up. Why would I eat something and make it worse, you know? And not only that, but I've talked about this again, trigger warnings, graphic self-harm. Sometimes I have urges to cut open my stomach / disembowel myself because I have this anxiety ball that lives in my abdomen. And it's kind of like having butterflies on your stomach on, like, fentanyl, like on the most intense drug you could think of. So butterflies in your stomach, but is not innocent as you could. It's like having acid reflux, but like only in your abdomen. It's not going up your esophagus or whatnot. It's just like sitting there eating away at your insides. And what that also does is sometimes I don't feel hungry. Even when I am hungry and I should know that I'm hungry, I don't register that I'm hungry because I always have that feeling of like acid and discomfort and just activity going on in my lower abdomen, that even if I do feel like I'm hungry, I just attribute it to that anxious, sickly, you know, monstrous feeling, and I push it aside and I don't eat, because that feeling takes over my need to eat. On another hand, I forgot about this, for the aspect of depression as well, even like when it suppresses my appetite, and it's like it's literally like I have stone for a stomach. I have like a rock for stomach. Like I don't have an appetite at all. There are times when I force myself to eat. And it's usually when I snap, I realize and I look around and I'm like, I haven't eaten in days, and I get up and I buy something and I sit down to eat it, and either I look at it and it's just like, but you're not hungry. And it's the weirdest thing because I haven't eaten in a day to 2 days, like multiple days. And I'm just looking at the food and I'm like, but I'm not hungry. Or I force myself to put it in my mouth and it's sitting in my mouth and it's like, I just don't want to swallow because it's like, I'm not hungry. It's like the equivalent. It's like having just eaten the largest multiple course Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner, holiday dinner that you've had to the point where, like, you're unbuttoning your pants, you know, and you're about to fall asleep on the couch so that your body can process all this food. It's like having that feeling while knowing logically you have not eaten in multiple days and that there's no possible way that you can't, that you can have anything in your stomach that's making you full. But because I feel like you feel after you've had a multiple course meal and you physically couldn't put anything else in your body. Like, you just look at food and you feel gross. I look at food and I'm like, I'm so not hungry. It's not that I'm, it's just I'm so not hungry that I can't chew slash swallow slash put this food item in my mouth. So that happens to me as well. Sometimes, you know, I'll be out and I'll get that logical thought of, oh, you haven't eaten in a while, and I'll buy food, but I'll throw it away. I won't even take it out of its container. I won't look at it, look at the food itself. I'll just get back to where I'm going, back to my house or back to my dorm, and I'll look at the container, and something will say, like, you're not hungry, like, you don't want to eat. Like, it's just, you have no appetite. It's not that I'm full, it's just I have no appetite, and I look at it. So I'll buy food, and I'll throw it away, or I'll make food. You know, I'll get all excited and I'll make the food. Usually, if I'm making it, I feel nauseous. I'll make the food and then I'll look at it and it's like, oh my God, think of how much time and hours and whatever and everything that's in it. Like, I just feel nauseous. When I buy it, I just don't want to eat it. And it's really unfortunate because it, you know, you waste food, you waste money, or you're like hounding people to eat the food that you've made because you don't want to eat it yourself, all while knowing that you haven't eaten anything in the past couple of days. And there are times as well, usually when I'm depressed and not necessarily when I'm anxious, because usually when I'm depressed, if I go into kind of like a catatonic depression, in which I've described this before, I get up and I stare at walls and I take depression nap and I stare at walls and I go to sleep and repeat. I can't focus on anything. So I also don't focus on my eating. And when that happens, and I'm in that kind of catatonic, kind of depressed state, I'm not hungry, and I don't even realize that how much time has passed since the last time I've eaten. But usually I have to go to school, or I keep a job and I have to go to work. And because I work minimum wage gigs, I'm usually on my feet or moving around or moving things either in retail or food service or event planning, whatever I'm doing. And I don't realize how little I've eaten, if I've eaten anything at all, until I've gotten to work and I need to stand for multiple hours instead of sit on the couch for a whole day. And I need to talk to people and I need to actually use brain function. And I start to feel faint. And the moment I feel faint, I'm like, oh wow, I haven't eaten anything all day. And then it's an issue because I'm already at work. Either there's no food places around or I just got there and I can't take a break to go get some food and eat something. And I need to stand for hours on end, running on literally nothing in my stomach. And my body type is such that, like, I don't have any fat reserves. I'm a small person. I'm a naturally small person. So, you know, I need to give my body what it needs as it comes because there's nothing for it to, there's no like stores or any backups for it to go to. It's like either I put food in my body or it's my body's shutting down. So it's not a good situation to be in. And it's actually very embarrassing and it's kind of life interrupting. There have been a couple of times when I've been out with friends. So here's another thing. This is probably just due to my body type. I have a low iron count, but I'm cold all the time. I'm someone who's always cold, even if the house is warm, unless it's literally like a sauna and it's 30 degrees Celsius, I am cold. And there are times when, you know, my skin is hot, but internally I'm shivering because I'm like, I feel cold inside. So the winters for me are not great. But that means I enjoy the sun and I spend a lot of time outside. And most of the time when I faint, it happens in the summertime. And that's usually because, well, one of the jobs that I work in the summer required me to be outside in the sun. And also the sun itself is draining. Your body's doing a lot of work keeping your systems, you know, cool in the hot sun. So if I've spent more than 20 minutes walking outside and I haven't eaten in a couple of days, I'll start feeling faint, which actually happened to me and a friend. And it was really embarrassing because she's like, what's happening to you? And for the longest time, I always blamed it on like a heat stroke kind of reaction, because conversely, in the winter, because I'm always cold, I tend to leave my jacket on if I run into the supermarket or something. But if I leave my jacket on for longer than like a half hour, I start to overheat and then I start to feel sick. But part of the reasons why I'm overheating is because I haven't eaten properly or put any fluids in my body. So there's two distinct times with multiple friends where I have just fallen faint to the point where like I've needed them to get shopping carts for me to sit in and for them to like wheel me all the way to the bathroom so I can like figure out what's going on. And really it's just because I haven't eaten. So not eating isn't this like cool, funny thing like, oh, I'm losing weight by just like not eating, you know, like it's so cool. It's so meta. Like, no, it actually affects your body and your life and how you're doing things. And it makes other people scared. And what's even worse is that I, for most of those occasions, was the one with the license and the one with the car. So I'm like in the back of... I'm like outside under a tree, people are bringing me cold waters and like buying me food, or I'm like in the back of this like supermarket, like dying, nearly fainting. And all the while, my friends are also wondering like, who's gonna drive us home? Our one driver, no one else has a license, and our one driver is like passed out in the side of this public place. I feel faint a lot. And it's usually the worst it gets is when I have gone longer and longer periods without having eaten. And it's not a conscious choice. It's not like I'm sitting here, I don't have a poor, this is where the disordered eating comes in and not necessarily an eating disorder. I don't have a poor relationship with food. I like good food. I eat a lot of good food. I enjoy good food. I don't have issues with my weight. I have body perception issues, but it doesn't have to do with like weight and food and whatnot. It's other things. So I'm not trying to change my body composition or look different through food or through unhealthy exercise. You know, it's all a side effect. It's not a coping mechanism. It's not a direct coping mechanism or disorder in itself. My poor eating habits and disordered eating are just side effects of my other mental health issues, which is the anxiety disorder, feeling sick, and the anxiety pit in my stomach, and the depression, which just cuts my appetite. It's literally like I have a rock in my stomach. And part of the issues too is sometimes I will snack. And here's something that that's been explained to me. So I have generalized anxiety, and I've lived a life that isn't, you know, it's not terrible, which I've told myself, and I beat myself up for being unhappy for a really long time. But it's been stressful for a lot of the time. I've been stressed out for a lot of the time. So my body has now learned to just always, you know, always be going, always have that adrenaline going, always be on fight or flight. I'm always ready, you know, to have to deal with a crisis or run away or whatever. I'm always on, you know. And because of that, that's why I always feel nauseous. I always feel sick. And I've learned through the various doctors that I've talked to is it's a very primal, natural instinct. And what I've been told is that, you know, your anxiety system, your adrenaline system is there to keep you safe in times of danger or trouble. And, you know, if someone's about to attack you or rob you, or, you know, there's a tiger, if we're going back years and millennia, if there's a tiger about to attack you and you need to run away, that's when your fight or flight and your adrenaline response kicks in. And part of that is making you expel whatever's in your stomach, so that you're lighter, so that it's easier for you to get away, you're more agile, you're not as weighted down. There's two ways for that to happen. Either you throw it up or you poop it out. And usually it's like diarrhea poops. It's not fun poops, because your body just pretty much like mashed it all up and is like, open up the hatches. We need to get this out. Now, I don't throw up due to my anxious nausea. So usually my my nausea is just a deterrent for me to eat food. It's like, I'm about to eat and my body's saying, wait, you're stressed, you're tense, something's about to come around the corner. And the nausea's coming up to tell me, like, don't eat anything because you're about, like, something bad's about to happen. Don't eat anything. We need to run. You know, that's kind of what deters me from eating. It's not that I'm nauseous after the fact. It's just I'm nauseous all the time. And then I'm like, well, you feel sick. Don't eat. The problem is, you know, if that kind of feeling happens for hours on end, days on end, you just end up not eating at all. When there isn't even a threat in the first place. On the other hand, you know, I'm pretty sure any adult in their life has had diarrhea or just, like, unfortunate number twos, and they're not fun, and they're not great, and it's not a great time. So that's also a deterrent from eating large meals, because then my body's like, why did you eat all of this food? We need to process it right away, stat, like, 100%, because you're about to be attacked within, like, the next couple minutes. That's, like, my body's always on high alert, you know? So I'm either preemptively nauseous and it's like, well, don't put anything in your body because I'm gearing up. Or I eat a full meal and then my whole body's like, why would you put us through this? We're about to be attacked. We need to now get all this food out. So both of which are deterrents for eating food. And it makes just the experience, like, reflexively uncomfortable. It's like, you know, this is going to happen. So what happens is, sometimes I'll spend time snacking, and even if I don't have, like, it's kind of hypocritical or counterproductive, I suppose, because I just talked about how sometimes I'll put food in my mouth and I'll literally, it's like my whole just esophagus is cut off and it's like, don't swallow this, like, you're not hungry. There are times when I just want something in my mouth, you know, it's like, eat something small so that we have enough energy to run away, but don't eat anything large because we don't want to be weighted down. So what usually happens, or what happens sometimes, is that I'll snack, but it won't be like healthy snacking. It'll be like candy or like chips or whatnot. It won't be nuts. Well, I'm allergic to nuts, so it can't be nuts. But it won't be like bread with like some avocado spread or whatever, like crackers and hummus. No, it'll be like cheese processed preservative filled crackers, and I'll just like stuff myself on those, and if I eat too many of them, I'll start to feel sick as if I ate a full meal. But even just a little of it isn't helping me because it's all empty calories. And here's another thing where it gets embarrassing again. There are other reasons why I've developed these eating habits that I'm not going to get into because it has to do with just like personal home stuff. But there will be times when I forget to eat just because I'm not surrounded by other people eating and I myself do not feel hungry. And then I'll go to a friend's house or whatnot and they'll be like, I'm grabbing a snack. What do you want? And the word snack or watching them eat will kickstart my brain and my body's like, oh, wait, we're hungry. And then I proceed to eat all of the food inside of my friend's house, which is really embarrassing when, you know, you walk into someone's house and you eat like you haven't, like you've been starved for the past week, like literally, you know, like especially when I was younger and it was less, like now that I'm an adult, it's embarrassing because it's like, why are you not taking care of yourself? But especially when I was younger, like you'd get those side looks like, are you being taken care of at home? Like, why are you eating so much? And additionally, it's even worse when I'm in a state where, you know, all I want to do is snack because I want light food. But I don't want to eat a full meal because again, like someone's about to attack you in a couple minutes. So you just need enough energy to run away. And I proceed to like eat all of my friends' school snacks and all of their siblings' school snacks. And, like all of the cheese and like light finger foods in the house, but like I'll refuse dinner or I'll refuse to like have a full meal with them because of this like instinctive fear of like, if I eat this full meal, I'm gonna have to get it out of my body, because I'm about to be jumped by like a whole group of saber-toothed mammoths. Like, I don't know. So just like how the fainting thing's a deterrent and like you don't want to start waving in and out of consciousness with your friends, which is also a scary feeling to feel yourself and be alone. But another thing that's embarrassing is eating people out of house and home. And it's something that I've been described as, like, literally since a child. People would say, like, when she's not hungry, she's vehemently, like, not hungry. Like, don't give her any food, she's not hungry. But when she is hungry, she'll eat everything. People have told me that since I was literally a small child. And it's because, you know, usually when I'm like truly hungry, I haven't eaten for a long time, and it's like, now we need to get the food in here, it's time. Or I feel calmer, and all of those receptors, like the anxious receptors, go off. And now your body's like, all right, it's time to eat. This is the golden period. This is when we can eat and process the food properly and be normal functional human beings. And we got to do it right now before we feel like we're going to be attacked again. And then, you know, those receptors go back on and I'm anxious and, you know, I'm scared again and no eating. But yeah, and then it makes you, you know, less likely to accept food from other people, because sometimes, like for me, if I start eating and then I remember... If I start eating, it's kind of like there's a couple of things that I can do to take myself out of that anxious cycle and that depressive cycle. And sometimes starting to eat is one of them. And it's kind of like I start to eat and then my body and brain's like, wait a minute, we're not in danger. Wait a minute, we're hanging out with a whole bunch of friends. Wait a minute, like, we can be fine, you know? And then I start eating and then my body is like, all right, we're fine. We are safe. Eat all of the food, like hibernation time, store all of the fats. And you don't want to go into that mode in someone's house when they just offered you like a couple of crackers and finger food and now you're looking around for like a whole roast chicken and pot pie deal. You know what I mean? It became a thing that I was super conscious with, actually. And I mentioned it, I think, in one of me and Stella did a couple of recordings, even though I only posted one of them. And I mentioned how, like, I was saying I felt super lonely, like our last year of high school, whatever. And she was like, oh, you can always come to my house. And I explained to her, like, yeah, but I was also having these eating issues, and I noticed that, like, you noticed that I was eating all of your snacks, and then I felt really weird, so I stopped coming or whatever, and we had a whole, like, heart-to-heart about it. It was, like, super cool. But at the time, it was, like, super embarrassing to be like, can I eat your crackers and then, like, either finish the box or only eat a bit of the box because you don't want to finish them all? And it's like, can I have your granola bar and then you eat one of each granola bar because you don't want to finish them all? And it's like, can I have some of your cheese? So either you eat like a little bit of everything to the point where it's like, why are you eating all of these different snacks? Or you down a whole fresh box of crackers and they turn around and they're like, wow, my mom just bought those. So, you know, yeah. My name's Purse and I have disordered eating habits. And that's my story. We went over the different types of diagnosable eating disorders, and I believe there's more than those four. It's just those four are the most well known to me. We went over some of my feelings about the glamorization of mental illness and word use. We went over my disordered eating and how it relates to depression and the anxiety and the fainting and the snacking. And I was gonna talk about, you know, ways to, I guess, cope. And ways to do better. If you're someone like me, and it's not necessarily like an eating disorder, but it's not just normal life stress. Like it's a side effect of something more serious, which means that the more serious the main thing is, the more serious your eating habits or your poor eating habits get. And what I mean is like the more depressed I become, like if I go into like a really bad depressed place, the less I will eat. And that's not a good thing because then I end up eating nothing at all. On the other hand, like if I get super, super anxious, that's also not a good thing. That's not a good thing. Again, if I get super, super anxious, that's not a good thing either because I'm going to eat less as a result. So it's a side effect of those things. But I think one of the biggest things that has helped me is one, talking about it. I never thought that my eating habits were necessarily a problem until I needed to fill up a questionnaire for some accessibility stuff with my psychotherapist, and we were talking about my eating habits, and she was like, wow, okay, that's definitely not good. And then I brought it up from the other psychotherapist, and we're going through all this stuff. So recognize that you have a problem, even if it's not, you know, like a whole diagnosis, it's still a problem. I've heard some people say, like, get a nutritionist, get on a good meal plan. Routine is really good. If you build eating into your routine, which I've done more often now that I'm at my school, because my school has a meal plan, and it's simply just going downstairs and ordering a certain kind of food, whatever they're cooking that day, and then buying it. And I've built that into my routine because it's super simple. They make the food for you. Get into that routine and, you know, do it, live it. And, you know, if you automatically just make cereal or a small salad, sorry, that was yawn, or cereal or a small salad or something, and you eat it at the same time every day, it's the same thing, you always have things stocked in your house, you won't forget to eat. But another thing, too, is don't be afraid to talk about it. You know, I've had a couple of friends who usually after the fainting spells, one time specifically, I remember all I had was like not a milkshake, it's like one of those like fruit smoothie shake things, and that's all I ate for the day. And I was like, well, this is like a whole meal's worth, because the size of the cup's pretty much a meal. And that was one of the days where I fainted like in the sun, and she went and she bought like fries or something for me to eat. And then she was like, you know, you haven't eaten anything today. And I was like, well, I had the shake. And they were like, no, like you need solid food. And then I was talking to them and just like telling them, and you know, now I have a couple of friends who know, and they'll look at me and they'll be like, are you okay? And I'll be like, yeah. And they'll be like, have you eaten? You know, and not as a passing comment, they'll like look at me. It's like, are you okay? When Sel asks me, are you okay? I know it's because I've said something alarming or I've done something alarming, and she wants to know that I'm not going to go flying off the handle or jumping off a building. I have certain friends who, when they look at me and they say, have you eaten today? It's because I'm acting weird, or my stomach's growling and I'm not realizing it, or I'm exhibiting, you know, the behaviors. Usually it has to do with the excessive snacking. They'll be like, have you eaten today? Do you want me to make you something? Like, stop eating granola bars. If you're hungry, I'll make you an actual meal. And that's really nice, especially, again, if it's not an active disorder, which requires literal specialists, because that's a whole different thing. And it's not, you know, it's not just you needing to, you know, get a new diet or spend less time on the internet or whatnot. It can be hard to manage. And if it's something where the issue isn't that you're thinking about it all the time and you're obsessing over it, the issue is that because all of your other issues are so elevated, you're just completely forgetting to eat, or you just don't feel hungry, or you're too stressed, or you're quote-unquote too busy. No one's too busy to eat, by the way, okay? If you stop doing your job for 20 minutes so that you can eat, your job will still be there. If you do your job to the point where you stop eating, you will, after a while, you will not be around to do your job, because you will be in the hospital or you will be dead. No one's too busy to eat. But if it's something where literally you just forget, or you overlook it, or you tell yourself you're too hungry, or you're too busy, or you're too tired, or all of these different things, it's really helpful to have people who can look you in the eye and say, I'm aware of your eating habits. I know what your cycle is, and I'm seeing something that I don't like. Are you okay? Have you eaten anything? Do you want me to make you something? Should we not go to a movie and go to a restaurant instead? Should I call someone? So I think for a situation like mine, and if your situation reflects mine, and again, this is something that can become really dangerous and really progressive, so don't just take my word for it, go see a doctor. But if you're having issues that are similar to mine, what can be the best is just talking to some close friends who, you know, will look out for you and will ask you, have you eaten anything? Do you need to eat anything else? Are you okay? Literally, are you okay? That's kind of my advice. And also being conscious for yourself, you know, writing sticky notes and putting it up in your room. Eat something like you're actually hungry. Working on whatever homework your therapist gives you to make you feel less anxious, which I'm really saying for myself because I never do it. Because if you stop feeling anxious, or you pull yourself, or you help yourself kind of out of a depressive episode, if it's not all encompassing and completely debilitating, that can cause you to eat a little bit more, even if it's just for a couple minutes, you know, eating some of your dinner instead of buying the whole thing and throwing the whole thing away. Eating some of it is better than throwing it all away, I've learned. So, you know, baby steps. And having a support team, people who seriously care about you, can make you feel less alone and less forgetful. Thank you for listening. As usual, you can find me on all of my social medias. My Instagram, my Twitter, and my Medium account, which is also my blog, are all at P-E-R-S Borderline, at Purse Borderline. I now have a website. I bought a domain. It's personallyborderline.com, which is actually a Tumblr that I just put a custom domain on because I've been too lazy to host the website, so I just pay for the domain. Anyway, yeah, it's personallyborderline.com, and you can find all of my social medias on there and links to everywhere that you can find the podcast and updates about podcast episodes and so many cool things. So check those out as well. As always, I appreciate you all for listening. Today's question or comment is, do you experience disordered eating or eating disorders? How was that experience for you? You know, how did you find out? How are you working through it? And what are your suggestions on just like coping strategies? What do you do? Do you have a support system? Do you have like a diary? Or I don't know, do you create a recording for yourself that you play every morning to remind you to eat? I'm not sure. How do you cope? How do you help yourself? How can your methods of helping yourself help me eat more? Because I'm cold all the time. And I forget to eat, and then I start fainting, and it's not good. Or I feel tired all the time. It's just not good, you know? So how can your methods of helping yourself help me? Let me know.